Let's go.
Are you ready to level up your journey? Welcome to Get On Top, where we dive deep into the riveting tales of self-made entrepreneurs and corporate titans who have scaled the summit of success. We'll uncover the secrets behind their huge rise. Get ready for a roller coaster of insights, inspiration, and a roadmap to elevate both your mindset and your life. This is Get On Top with Morgan Brown. Today on Get On Top, I'm sitting down with someone who has taken her global experiences, her voice, and her vision and turned it into a movement that is impacting thousands across the country. Taylor Yu is the founder and executive director of Beautiful Foundation, a Canadian charity delivering confidence programs and mental wellness workshops for female and non-binary youth nationwide. Today, the foundation has impacted over 6,000 girls and is powered by a community of more than 500 volunteer mentors. But what makes Taylor's story even more compelling is how it all began. What stands out most is her mission to help young people build confidence from within and create a stronger sense of self. Today, we're diving into the journey from traveling the world to building a purpose-driven charity and a business to help, and what it really takes to turn your life experiences into lasting impact. Get ready to get on top with Taylor Yu. Hello, Taylor. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Get On Top is like, this would not make sense without you being here. So I'm
honored.
So happy.
And after like seeing who has sat in this seat, I'm like, wow, what a privilege to be here.
I'm so excited to dive in. And first of all, for people, I know you, Taylor.
Well, we go quite far back.
Yes. 8 years ago, basically. Yep. And we've come into each other's spheres in and out, and now more and more. And I think, like, true fashion of the Get On Top, tell everybody kind of what your main origin story was. Like, tell everybody who you are. Who are you, Taylor?
Such a big question.
I know.
I'm like, okay, where do I begin?
Vancouverite.
Could say yes, technically born and raised in Surrey, BC.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, love that. I always like to mention I grew up in a family business because I think that has rooted me so much in who I am today. Mm-hmm. So my grandparents started 99 Nursery and Florists out in Surrey. Oh, and
everyone knows that.
Yeah, like grew up in the flowers and in the garden. And still to this day, like my dad and my uncle run it. My brother is set to take over. So it literally is like third generation in. You can find me and my husband still working on like the Mother's Day weekends, the Valentine's Day weekends. But I feel that so much of my childhood and like who I was formed out of showing up every weekend, working with my grandparents and my dad and my mom and shaping kind of like who I am now today. And
wow,
that like line of entrepreneurship has really like carried through. So on a professional level, I'm founder and executive director of the Beautiful Foundation, and I am here for all things
beautiful
woman empowerment.
Yes, I love
beautiful
that.
Moments and experiences and just giving women voices.
Okay. So two things. Tell everybody about what the main mission is of Beautiful. What is the main purpose for everyone to get involved and for the organization?
Absolutely. So our purpose is to provide confidence and self-esteem classes for young girls and non-binary youth ages 8 to 14.
Okay.
So really working with that age that we all can relate to when your body is changing, you're going to a new school, friendships feel harder.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And you're just trying to figure out like your direction. And so can get into like how I started it from the beginning.
Tell me what made you get there.
Yes. Yeah, so passion project number one.
Okay.
I feel like I am a walking example that if you truly believe in something so deeply, anything is possible. The whole goal was not to build a charity. I didn't even think that was in my capacity or my means. I didn't go to school for anything in the not-for-profit sector. I didn't go to business school. But again, that through line of like entrepreneurship was always there. But was cyberbullied in grade 8.
Okay.
And that was kind of a trigger to showing myself and my community that there wasn't resources at the time for kids going through this new like online world.
Oh, yeah.
And what bullying was going to kind of shape into, because it was all through anonymous text messaging, sending threats throughout my high school. I was lucky enough to have a mom that got involved and really like nipped it in the bud early. And I could talk to her about what was going on. And so going throughout kind of my high school years, had so many different friends struggle with body image challenges, eating disorders, severe anxiety, and just a lack of resources. So I decided to like take that inner gut instinct and do something about it. And I've always was into leadership and like wanting young girls to feel like they had a voice and that they mattered. And so built out this like pilot program set at 17 and got really lucky that I had such a strong community around me to
champion it.
Bring it forward.
Champion it.
And so it was me and a friend from school that I rallied, and we worked with these 12 girls at a local inner city elementary school. And it like completely transformed my life. I walked out a different person. They walked out different human beings, more confident, more assured of themselves. And just, yeah, it sparked something in me. And I've like never looked back.
So from there to now, where? What are we looking at now?
Yes. So that was like an impact of 12. Now we've impacted 6,350 young girls across Canada.
Isn't that
so
incredible?
We're a national charity now. Got that status about 5 years ago. So we're
which
still
isn't easy.
No, it's not.
We're going to dive into that.
Such a long journey. And it's still grassroots.
Yes.
Like that's the thing. You know, we're not backed by a big family foundation or a massive corporation. Mm-hmm. We don't have, you know, 60 plus years of kind of that history. We're still very new. Mm-hmm. And so I am in the world of grinding it out right now. You know, we're hosting our own fundraisers. We're building community connections with family foundations, mm-hmm. with corporations, et cetera. But everything we do is free for kids, whether that's our confidence program, our mental health program, our conferences. So we rely heavily on community support.
You must. Yes.
You have to.
Yeah.
And accessibility is number one for me. So
how are you making those connections with those people? Like, how are you getting those young girls into the space?
It's a huge mix. So at first it was working specifically with schools and teachers and still largely is. Like, we have amazing youth, you know, counselors who are advocating for us and community workers in the neighborhoods that we're in. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it comes down to just word of mouth. And parents mm-hmm. that have enrolled one child, they tell their soccer team, who tells the coach, who then tells another school.
Wow.
And so it's just a ripple effect, which I'm sure you know. Like, it's so much about that network and building that mm-hmm. safe community around you. But to be able to do it on a national scale feels
pretty amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
What have you seen? Like, I mean, there's so many charities, like, and there's so many people that have have really great intention, but what are you seeing the aftermath is of this whole foundation?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So I've been doing it for 13 years now.
Wow.
Which is so wild and scary because now some of the girls I like used to teach.
Oh my God, because they're like older now.
They're like, oh yeah, they're adults. It's crazy how fast time has gone. But the aftermath is like so many of those young girls are now coming back to mentor mm-hmm. and coming back to Beautiful and saying like, I want to provide that safe space and opportunity that you did for me for another young girl. Mm. So it is that like generational ripple effect that we're seeing. And then the women that come through our door, we're 95% volunteer led.
Oh.
So over 500 women across Canada showing up, dedicating their time, speaking, mentoring, you name it. So now we've also got this like incredible, we call each other soul sisters.
Ah.
So soul sister community that has also like been a part two almost that was mm-hmm. unexpected. So I am seeing like the aftermath of not only these young girls walking away more confident and, you know, building their own companies mm-hmm. and going for that internship and just being able to like speak up in situations where they don't feel safe. And then on the flip side, also having women feel the same because I think like the self-love journey, it's ongoing.
It's so hard. Yeah, it's such a beautiful thing. Like what you've done with, like, I know that age bracket is so hard, you know, and just
how old's your daughter?
So my daughter. I'm thinking my dog, because he broke his toe, everybody. Okay.
Oh, no.
And that was a bad day.
Like
for
just
me.
Happened?
Just happened.
Oh, no. Okay. So like, top
dog,
of mind.
My dog. Yes. Yeah. My daughter is 5, but where it hits, when you told me about it, I mean, where it hits really home for me is I was extremely bullied in grade 8. And it was a really hard time for me, to a point that a girl actually cornered me and beat me up when I was like young. And I remember thinking to myself, like, and I luckily had thick, you know, tough skin, yeah, and I could get through it. And it became one of my battle wounds. And it actually became a kind of reason why I champion people for acceptance, right? Mm-hmm. Accepting people for who they are, right? So it is really incredible to hear that you're, and what I was going to say is, it wasn't until at that time, teachers got involved and they brought in people to speak to a group of other girls that were in that class that actually helped us. But that doesn't happen all the time, right?
No, like having those advocates in your room.
They don't. And so you're making this safe space for these girls to come in and to really be heard and also to hear the stories. And that was the biggest impact that ever, I think that ever was made in my life in high school.
Incredible.
So it is so cool to hear that girls have a place for that. And now it's kind of gone on to its life of its own. Like it's, people in Vancouver are talking about this, Jared.
Which still is and a little Toronto. Bit crazy to me. Yeah, I've got this like incredible, I feel this incredible momentum right now.
There is a momentum.
There is a momentum and there is like a movement happening. And I think people are really leaning into also supporting grassroots mm-hmm. more because they see the direct impact in their neighborhoods. Their daughters are enrolled. They're coming to speak. Yeah, I really look at like, I'm going to say like the roster of women that are backing us and men right now.
Yeah, of course.
And we wouldn't be where we are without them. Like our growth in the past couple of years mm-hmm. is because of those individuals who are bringing our names into rooms that I'm not even aware of. And so it's incredible when we get, yeah, opportunities to come and speak to a law firm or come and talk to a wealth management team mm-hmm. about what Beautiful is up to, because you just don't know where that's going to kind of cascade to. And mm-hmm. yeah. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
I'm so excited.
But
tell me about the name.
It's been a long journey.
The name is a big thing. I'm a big brand girl. And
oh, well, thanks 17-year-old Taylor for that one.
Really?
It's never changed. Yeah, I know. It was always called the Beautiful like Foundation. I mean, I thought it was so brilliant. I was like, B-E-A-Y-O-U.
Oh my God, I love you.
Like it was a 17-year-old journal entry. Like literally, I think I was still actually 16 at the time when I like did my first journal, which I have of like
oh
the concept
gosh.
And the name and what is it going to be. But at the time I was like, just replace the U with Y-O-U and then like make it stand out. And
oh my
it's
God.
Easy for kids to see and understand. Like that was the big thing. I needed a young girl who's 8 or 14 to look at it and be like, oh, I get it. Like be you.
We can I kind of just, love that yeah. you thought about that, because at the end of the day, it's like that customer, that person that's going to, it's going to be impacting more.
Yeah.
So, and I think that you're right. I think having young kids, they would be reading it like that. Like,
for sure.
Be you. Do
I mean? Yeah, 100%. And that's what I hope. And I think for us, it's like making the self-love movement really cool. That's always been our goal, because no kid, when they get enrolled in our program, you know, if the parent's like, oh, you're going to a self-esteem and mental wellness
yes,
workshop,
yes.
like no kid on a Saturday is going to be like, yeah. I mean, that's the goal. But we've managed to do that. We've managed to like make it well enough kind of known that kids recognize who we are now and get okay. excited to attend. And even if not, they come to the first class and they get paired up with cool mentors. We're making friendship bracelets. We're talking about our dreams and goals. You know, we're eating snacks together, and opening our hearts up. Like it's really like an after school girls hangout club, but it's with self-esteem education embedded into it.
Yeah.
But we want it to feel natural enough.
It feels very natural. I mean, when did you realize you didn't just want to be in that foundation charity role? Because like, yes, you're talking about writing it in your journal. Where was it that moment you were like, oh, this has legs?
There's one specific moment I like always reflect back on.
Okay.
And we had done our very first Inspired by Her conference, mm-hmm. which was kind of like my version of like a leadership development conference, but for kids.
Okay.
And something that like was super actionable. You had takeaways, but it was also like a hyped environment. You maybe felt like you also were at like a party. Like we developed this kind of like, you know, we had a flash mob at the end and we did like meditation and there was workshops that you like jumped through and you got a mentor for the day. So it was all these like concepts we had built out. And I'm like, let's just throw it into a day mm-hmm. and see what happens. And it was a huge production. We did it at the Roundhouse in downtown Vancouver. You know, we sold out. We had 150 girls there. We had 75 mentors show up, all paired up with these kiddos. And it was the most so for me, it was like one of the most transformative days of my life.
Wow.
But I remember the final flash mob like happening, watching all these girls. So think of like 200.
I love a little
powerful,
flash mob.
Like, yeah, like, yes. You know, like young girls who had never even danced before, just like being in their bodies and feeling so electric and magnetic and like themselves. And I had just like tears, just like I was bawling. My mom was there bawling. Like I had my grandma stop by. Like It was a huge family thing. Like we all helped bring it to life with the volunteers. And one of my closest friends, Carrie, she came up to me and she was crying beside me. And she goes, you know, if you don't realize like this is what you're meant to be doing.
Yeah, you're calling.
You will never get another sign like this, Taylor. Like, This is your time to take it. That's all I needed to hear was like that like reaffirmation. I wasn't the only one seeing this and feeling this. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is something super special that's happening.
Yes.
Next day, reached out on literally Instagram and posted a story of like looking for a female lawyer who would be interested in like taking this charity application through the end or like through, you know, from the beginning to end, basically.
Right, right.
And it was a connection from another gal I grew up figure skating with. And she was like, I think you should talk to this girl, Shannon Tsang. She's, you know, with a law firm.
Go Shannon.
Go Shannon. Yeah, if you're listening to this, like she is still, you know, one of my biggest inspirations. And
of course,
she took us on pretty much pro bono and was like,
wow,
I want to help you get there with my law firm and get this application through the door. And it's very tough to get accepted by the CRA at the end of the day for this.
Of course.
So it was about just over a year process.
Okay. This is what I want to hear.
Massive application.
Huge application. And a lot of people, what I have, you know, again, my experience is there's not much of a benefit for a business or another company to build their own foundation because for them to go through a lot of these hoops, it's a lot of time, it's a lot of money. But when you do something in such a, you know, in such a formative way that you're doing it from the ground up, there's nothing else attached to it.
Yeah.
It is incredible what you can do with it. And I want to know how that process was for you. Obviously, it took a long time.
Yeah.
You were modeling. You were all, you know, you were doing all these other things at the same time.
Yeah.
What was your thought process? Were you like, I'm going to get this done and I'm determined? Or was it like, I'm going to put this out in the universe and see where it goes?
I knew it was going to get done.
Okay.
Put it that way.
Yeah,
I was like, without a doubt in my mind, 100%. Yes. Like, we just had too much proof of concept that this worked. Like, in my head, I was like, of course we're going to get approved because look at what we've done.
I love that.
To me, that was my mindset. I was like, absolutely. But could it take years? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I kind of was on no like
timeline.
I really wasn't. I self-funded it for so long. And then we did small, like, you know, fundraisers here and there.
Little sponsors.
Yeah, mini sponsorships. Like a little bit of a check coming through. And then we'd do like literally a bake sale. Then we'd go like door to door asking for donations. And so that had worked thus far. But for me to like take it to the next level, I knew this had to happen. But I wasn't, because I didn't feel the pressure for it to be my full-time thing at the time, I was like, this is still passion. I mean, it still is today.
Yeah.
But at the time it was full passion. And I was like, okay, whenever this kind of, we cross the line, great. What I will say is like, don't do it alone.
Okay.
Like hiring.
It is hard.
Yes. Like that application is not an easy one to tackle, and doing it without, like, personally, I would say like a lawyer coaching with you would be really difficult because it was even just the verbiage and the way that they set up, you know, schedule A to D and what they're looking for. And so we felt super supported, but they came back, asked more questions. Like there was iterations to the application. And then we got the acceptance right before Christmas. And it was like the cherry on top, like to celebrate with my team. But at that point we were a board of three.
Okay. So this is is crazy. So I know as a founder, you can never do anything alone. It's not you. It's everyone else around
100%,
you.
100%.
So where did it begin and where is it now?
So we still are pretty like a small but mighty team.
Beautiful.
I will say I think there's like something to be said about like boutique small teams and like really making sure, yes, and it feels so tight-knit and we understand each other through and through. So our board actually has not grown that big over the last 5 years since kind of getting that status. Mm-hmm. But what we actually just started as of this week is a new advisory board.
Oh, fine.
So we have a subsidiary that's like really looking at big picture, less governance, which is awesome because we need that. We're at the point of scaling now where it's like, who are these people we're bringing in that mm-hmm. are thinking wild, big dreams with yes. us, but that can actually like action it.
Yes.
And then we've got like other smaller committees. So whether it's our gala committee or, mm-hmm. you know, our kind of volunteer leads, mm-hmm. we've really kind of set up these different departments to help bring it through. Yes. So it takes a village. My style of leadership has always been, but even more so now, is like, if the spotlight's on me, I'm shining it immediately on someone else.
Yes.
Like take the light mm-hmm. and shine it. Mm-hmm. And like, what can that do to a room where the spotlight's only on me? Well, as soon as you start pointing at one person,
oh, it's
the
terrible.
Goal is they keep pointing at another. And yeah. it just like, you know, you hope that it just
bring
keeps
it everywhere
like,
else.
Exactly. Yes. Keep bringing it everywhere else. And like, that empowers other women to step up into their like most authentic self. And so it's not even just for those young girls that I want to do that for. It's also mm-hmm. our board members and our mm-hmm. volunteers. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the people who are like running the machine, because it is not just me.
Oh my gosh. It's always the people behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And it's always, you know, I think it takes every different talent, every different, you know, I mean, running a couple companies, you can see there's talent in every different company.
For sure.
Every different charity, every different foundation. And it's about making sure that they fit in the right place. They're all sitting in the right place.
Yes. And for us, like finding our partners too yeah. that align really well.
Exactly.
I think that's a big thing. Like there's, you were saying about companies building their own foundations. Mm-hmm. I think from a tax incentive, 100% get it.
100% great.
100% get it.
Yes.
And so, and often what that ends up happening is then those corporate foundations just donate off into grassroots like us
right.
or other big foundations
yes, yes.
too. But even if you have no plan to start your own foundation under the mm-hmm. company, can you line up with foundations that are out there that are like exactly doing the work that you'd want to embody anyways?
Definitely.
And that's what I really encourage now is like even some of the smaller brands we might work with, it's like we've been able to team up in such meaningful ways. Maybe they've got a big, you know, female exec mm-hmm. team mm-hmm. or
yes.
Their CEO has a daughter, like mm-hmm. finding those points of connection so that it's so real.
That's the one thing that I was so fascinated by. And I think for anyone that's like working in female charities, one thing that I got from a couple of people recently is that a lot of the donors are the males with daughters.
A ton. Yes.
Like yeah. this CEO or CFO or COO with yep. a daughter. And they're getting behind it. I was like, wow,
yeah.
that's nice to hear.
Oh, it's great.
Right?
And I think like, I hope that just keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that still has a long way to go.
Yes.
But it's definitely like, I think starting. And again, I would also give like a lot of credit to like women who are working their way up too in their, mm-hmm. in the corporate industry. And so it's, they're fighting and advocating to
yeah.
be like bigger supports with mm-hmm. these companies for other organizations that are helping like young girls.
Yeah,
and women.
These young girls are getting so, they're, it sounds like they're not just getting seen in these gala pieces or the, by the Soul Sisters.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing thing. What does that community look like now?
It just keeps growing.
It just keeps on growing.
Yeah, it just keeps growing. I mean, even being here today, I'm
yeah.
like, it's, I feel like I'm speaking, I hope, to like future community members,
yes.
but other women or individuals who can like relate to kind of the struggles that you know, we both have been through mm-hmm. as kids. And I think that's like the key piece is like every single mentor that walks through our door is like,
that happened.
I can relate to
you. I relate to that.
Yeah.
Or my friend did. Or
100%. Or I didn't have the support system and I wish I did. Or I actually need that now. And so how can I build this like community within kind of my own healing process?
Oh,
like
yeah.
however we fit. It's, I think like beautiful is yes for that age group of 8 to 14. But again, we're
like
so much more than
there's
that.
So much more.
Yeah.
Tell me about, you know, why you decided to kind of build, because what I've really learned from the charity piece is what, like, okay, let's take it back a second. What is one thing that you've learned when building this charity? Both
trust
the purpose and profit, I guess.
I'd say like a big takeaway has been trust the process.
Yeah.
I think for a while right. I was so focused on being, you know, the biggest foundation, having like the greatest impact, which don't get me wrong. I feel like the impact part still stands. I mean, I'd love to see that number just skyrocket into the millions one day and be international. But I also have found so much passion and light in us impacting really intentionally mm-hmm. and not scaling so quickly. You know, I know almost every single one of our mentors now. I get to meet so many of the girls still that go through our programs and hearing like the impact that you can have on just that one life.
Wow.
for me, that's like really brought it home. It's like, it doesn't, you know, need to be a room of 500 every time. It can be a room of 3.
Yeah.
But you do not know that impact you're going to have on that child. Like, it could come back tenfold, but in 10 years from now, in 20 years from now. And so we're starting to see some of those like small ripple effects coming back to light. But I think like just trusting the process and like knowing that what we're doing in some shape or form is having, you hope, a positive impact.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean like racing to the front.
At Oakland Realty, real estate is personal. It's your first home, your next chapter, your biggest decision, and your biggest opportunity. That's why we lead with people first. Trusted advisors, deep local knowledge, and a commitment to doing things right every time. Whether you're buying, selling, or simply planning your future, our agents are here to guide you with clarity, confidence, and care. Because a home isn't just a place you live, it's where life happens. Oakland Realty, inspiring positive change. One person, one home, and one community at a time.
You definitely are making a massive impact. It's such an exciting thing to see. And I think a lot of the entrepreneurs, like there's going to be a lot of entrepreneurs, lots of corporate titans listening to you. What's one thing that they should know about giving their time and giving their money or their funds or whatever it may be to you? Like, I mean, that's a big, I think a lot of people, business owners, we're always trying to attach to ourselves to something that is meaningful to our own individual selves.
For
right?
sure. Yeah.
And it should align, you know, it should always align with that.
Be
intentional with it.
Yeah. And that would be maybe be my advice is
yeah.
like really be intentional with the why, and it'll make it seem that much more organic when you do find that relationship and build relationships. Like, we really try to pride ourselves in like getting to know the CEOs and getting to know the team that is like investing in us. Cause that's ultimately what you're doing. You're investing in the work that we then are going out into the communities for.
Wow.
So like get to know the people, whether that's the founder or the program manager or the volunteers, and then extend that to your staff. Because that's the thing we've got. I'm going to do like a little example here, but Kiwi Home, they are like a bedding and linens company. Oh. They're incredible. They're across Canada. I want to say they have like over 75 store locations now.
Wow.
Their CEO, Christina Hsu, she's just fantastic. But we've gotten to know her so well, along with all of her exec team, who now volunteers for the foundation, who sends their kids to our programs. We actually have done like wellness workshops in their storefronts. Like, talk about a partnership that has had like touch points in every direction.
Yes.
In addition to like an annual donation that they pledge. It's
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And like, we feel like family now with them.
I
hope you feel the same, Christina, if you're watching.
Yeah, she does.
But I'm like, it is. It's just like family. And I think the more I can now shine a light on their company and what they're doing. Incredible.
Oh, so
my
thankful.
Whole home is like Kiwi Home bedding products.
I was gonna
now. So there you go. We're a forever fan.
Well, that's it. You're bridging partnerships.
Yes.
You're making great connections with other female-led companies, which is beautiful. And you're also championing them all the time throughout the years. Like, that's one of the best things. I mean, I feel like everybody now gets a lot of loyalty through brands if they're aligned with their mission and their core values. And with Beautiful, you feel that like right away that they can really make an impact to the young girls, right? I mean, wow.
And they can come and see it live if they want, or they cannot, you know, like, and don't get me wrong, every partnership is different. Everyone's capacity is different. But being able to like be a bit deeper than just a check.
Yes.
I think that's the key of what we've really started to master is because we want more than that too. We would love to build an ongoing 10 plus year relationship and look back and be like, wow, look at what we accomplished together in the last decade.
Oh,
so that's
did you hear that, guys?
Trajectory.
You get in there.
Yes.
Right?
Come talk to us. Let's brainstorm all the things.
Oh my God. So besides doing all this, you have owned a clothing line as well. So I want to touch on that because tell us about that evolution of what has happened with your actual own brand as well.
Yeah. So it's called The Roster. It's interesting. Always have loved fashion.
Love it.
Like from the beginning. I give a lot of kudos to my grandma Ruby and my mom. They were like, they're still my fashion
icons. I saw your post. I was like,
Yes, I know. She just like, oh, my grandma Ruby, bold in her like colors, in her presence, everything about it. But I think I was always inspired by like these female kind of iconic women around me that dressed to the nines and had fashion magazines always in the house. And we loved shopping. It was like our thing to do. But then, yeah, like growing up, and then I was like, oh, I would love to get into fashion one day. Always was told from like a modeling perspective, I was way too short.
Yes.
So yeah, door was closed. Like I think I applied when I was 15. It was like an absolutely not. But you should try commercials, like kind of going a different route.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool. Loved being on stage, loved theater, was getting really good at public speaking. And that helped with the charity for sure to like be kind of that ambassador and advocate on stage. Mm-hmm. And then ended up signing with an agency who I still am signed with today.
Oh.
And yeah, talk about small roster, family orientated. Yeah, Carrie Wheeler has championed me from the beginning. But an opportunity came up for commercial. And it was like a figure skating commercial. And it shot in Prague.
It's perfect.
And it was like all the things, like a grip figure skating. It was all these like dream check boxes. Needless to say, booked that. It kind of kickstarted my career in modeling because I ended up, it was a massive fashion campaign at the time for Lux.
Okay.
Which is, I guess, more of a beauty product, I should say. But it went into like, we did photo shoots. There was the commercial. And then that I signed with an agency in Thailand. Oh. And then I signed with an agency in Singapore. And then it kind of just snowballed. Was able to do my school for university all online. So could work full time modeling overseas and still like get my degree under the way, like under the belt. And then still did beautiful as well. Like I'd come back every 3 months and then run programming, fundraise, let the team continue running it, jump back to Asia. Yeah. So I did this big, I don't know, there wasn't a clear direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I needed to experience it all. And I loved the chaos of it. And then as beautiful grew, you know, the volunteers were like, look, we keep wanting to contribute and grow this, but like, we just don't have the funds.
Okay.
And so I realized that that was also another opportunity. I was like, okay, well, I'm working in Asia. I'm in fashion. I understand how products are made, how shoots are done. I'm like in front of the camera, but like, why can't I also be designing behind the camera? And like, what if the clothing brand donated back to the foundation? Mm-hmm. And so it was like this social enterprise concept. So yeah, I took the idea and I just ran with
it. Oh my gosh.
Was in Singapore at the time and found a clothing factory that, you know, made sustainable t-shirts fabrics.
Yes.
And it wasn't
That hard to find?
Because I was over there.
Okay.
I found it a lot easier.
Yes.
Once you are living, I will say, in a city where
that's the normal.
Yes. Manufacturing is a very like common job, but also just like, yeah, and the industry is prevalent there. So it was a lot easier to get my foot into the door. Okay. And then obviously with technology now, I mean, kind of the world is your oyster and with how accessible everything is. But at the time, like there was no AI. There was no,
oh my God,
I mean, Alibaba was out, but it was not yet really something that a 21-year-old should just be like, oh, I'll just like send my money overseas and do this. So I was quite lucky that I was like in the country and had some connections.
Okay.
Did that first t-shirt collaborated with some local influencers to launch it. We sold out, raised all this money for Beautiful. And then everyone's like, okay, well, when's like the next drop happening? I was like, let me get back to you on that. Because there was no plan. Like there literally plan to have a brand. It was like, I just wanted to create income for the charity. And in a way where I was like, not going door to door, not doing car washes. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Really trying to find like a sustainable means of income for this passion project. And then it kind of just developed into its own life and is still exists today.
It is. Yes.
Yeah. We are a very small brand, I will say, but you know, part of the proceeds still go back to Beautiful every year. And where that goes, time will tell. I will say that.
I feel like that.
Yeah. Like it's,
There's something there.
And even if not fashion, the idea and concept of a social enterprise is something I'm very attached to. Mm-hmm. I love the concept of building something that is to fund fully a give back.
I think
of
so.
Some sort.
Yeah.
I just will say like the economy is in an interesting place right now. Mm-hmm.
But the designs are great.
Oh, thank you.
Like it's really good.
I should be wearing something. I know. Today, but yeah, I don't fit a whole lot at the moment. So that's the issue. But yeah, it's interesting to see it evolve over the years, but I will say,
because it does go like toe to toe about being beautiful, like feeling accepted,
100%.
You know, like all of that really hits really hard, you know.
And our first like launch was a t-shirt that had like a quote over the shoulder that said like, smile, darling, you're beautiful.
Oh my God.
And it was like in cursive writing and it's like really tiny. And it was like the first kind of shirt that was like not a huge branding thing in your face. It was very subtle, like soft fabrics. My mom could wear it. My best friend could wear it. My grandma could wear it. It was very essential.
You have to bring it back.
I know. I should be. That's
I want one.
The OG one.
You know?
But I think there is legs to it. Mm-hmm. It's also just now managing time and expectations. And the charity now is a full
charity,
you know, charity and running company on its own. And so I will say like the roster has taken a backseat to that.
Of course. Of course.
But I think I've just learned so much from it. And whether like it closes as a brand one day, who knows? But I see it being like the start of then something new to come.
I think so.
There's something, like you said, there's something there. And people love wearing and purchasing a product, I will say, where there's like a direct social tieback to it.
I think so.
I think creatively, it's been a blast. Like,
well, it's such a great, you know, again, a connection to, it's like a vertical integration on your own of the foundation, right?
Exactly.
And there's so many other ways that you can go through with that as a brand.
For sure. So never say never.
Never say never.
And then it gets me to like go to all these amazing places too. Like we've manufactured now in between like China, Singapore. We lived in Vietnam and we had a whole production going there and that was incredible. So just the like knowledge too of like what we've been able to gather out
to
of
to build
it,
out on to, it.
Yeah. It's been a really cool journey. So.
Okay. I want to talk about you guys teaching self-confidence to these girls. I mean, what have you learned confidence really looks like? Like, what does it actually look like in real life?
So confidence is going to look different on each person.
Right.
But ultimately, I would say it's standing in your power.
Yeah.
But again, in whatever shape that feels good to you. Mm-hmm. But I think it's knowing your worth.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing. It's knowing that despite what anybody says, you know you are good enough just as you are. Come as you are. Be as you are. And I think like that independence, like that will take you anywhere in life. Like,
oh, I love that answer. I mean, having value is a big problem with, I think, even business owners that are of, you know, in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, right?
Yeah.
People, you know, are always talking about confidence being their authentic self, but it's also being valued in those spaces that they're around the table, right?
For sure.
And so it's cool to hear that you're doing that. And I think, you know, like everyone has personally self-doubted themselves.
Oh,
and
I do all the time. I know. Still. Like, we're human. Also,
we're human.
I think it'd be weird to say I've never felt that. It's
how do you handle it?
A lot of self pep talks.
Okay, yeah. I love it.
I'm really
affirmations.
We talk about affirmations so much with the kiddos. So maybe that's like where, but I like it stems from. But I really do believe that the more you tell yourself something and the more you put it out into the universe, it will happen.
I know.
Like, show up and be happy, be positive, be kind. Like, that's all I can keep saying is like, radiate like the best version of yourself that you can be. Mm-hmm. And who comes into your life from that? Like, that's actually out of your hands.
That's incredible.
Right? But how you can choose to respond to people and like continue your day and just bring like value to a room. But in a way, again, that's not that doesn't feel inauthentic. It's just like be you. And the right people are going to come to that energy.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, it's like whenever I'm having that self-doubt, and I mean, I felt it even yesterday on our first big advisory committee, like all these women in this room gathered around to like hear about Beautiful and support it and talk about its trajectory. Of course, in the back of my mind, I was like, what am I doing? Like, how do I even collect all these incredible humans to be here? And, you know, I owe a lot of credit to my husband. He's always like, you know, they're there to support.
Yeah,
they're there to support. They showed up for a reason. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that. And I need sometimes those reminders because it's so easy to get, I think, consumed in your own thoughts and that self-doubt and am I good enough? And, you know, being grassroots, it's like, oh, how do you navigate? But I looked around that room and after that like hour and a half meeting ended, it was so clear that everyone was there.
For the right reason.
Yeah, the right reason, the same intention. And that's what's rooting us, right?
Yeah.
So I think like bringing that outlook into everything that you do is so powerful.
I love boards. I love committees because, you know, the truth is that if you have a good board, the leaders and the people that are in that organization are learning so much so fast at very lightning speed moments, and they're getting more information that they'd even get if they had a consultant on.
Yes,
because absolutely. You're sitting there taking everything in.
Yeah.
And
it's collaborative.
It's collaborative. And I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And when everyone leaves their ego or leaves their titles at the door, everything aligns. It's unbelievable. And so if you have the right one, that's what you want. You want to hear like, yeah, everyone's rooting for the same
100%. Okay. So I just heard a quote the other day and I'm like taking it now and running with it. But you've almost like touched on it completely. But it's like, we didn't just open the door. We gave the girls the floor.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
And that is 100%.
Like, goosebumps.
Right? Like what I felt in that moment, in that meeting with these incredible committee members. And it's how I feel when we go to beautiful programs. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're not just opening doors. We're giving the floor. We're giving women and girls and non-binary youth the opportunity to like action their thoughts and feelings and to speak their mind and their voices. Because you can open the door, yes. But if the kiddos don't have the tools to...
What do you do?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So it's like you also have to give them the toolbox of that self-esteem, of that self-belief, so that when they walk through the door, they actually then can, you know, be of...
Of service.
Of service.
Yeah.
And take service. Up space.
Yeah.
So that's, I just heard that recently and I was like, oh, I'm
feel like,
it.
Honestly, yeah, yeah.
You know, running with it.
I feel like I could talk to you forever. I need a part two. I need a part two of Taylor.
Well, because I also want to dive into like your company. And I was like, see, I want to like interview you next. Maybe part two, I can come on as the host.
I like
and
that.
I want to be able to ask you all these
questions. Yeah, I like that. I'm ready for it. What are you mostly excited for in the future of beautiful and in the cities you're touching? I think that's what I think everyone wants to hear. What are you mostly excited and what are you working on?
So expansion across Canada is like on the map.
Okay.
So we're in BC, Alberta, Ontario, and then we're actually expanding to Saskatoon, which maybe that's like the first time I've said this publicly.
Okay.
But yeah, we're expanding to Saskatoon in the fall, which is awesome.
Perfect.
I'd love to just kind of keep adding on new provinces after that. We do have a digital presence nationally.
Okay.
But our in-person programming is so remarkable and special. So I'd love to keep kind of building that impact out. And then I guess on like a fundraising level, we are starting to just come out with like really unique concepts that feel super genuine to beautiful. So the long table dinner you and I were speaking out, you know, when I walked in of like just bringing...
So mad I'm missing this.
Yeah, I know. There'll be more. Don't worry.
40th birthday.
But it's a big deal. I know, 100%. We'd sing you happy birthday though if you did want to show up. But these like long table dinner concepts we're doing. Like women are loving them. And
they love to get dressed up and go out.
Yes. And for purpose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're keeping things intimate. We're not doing these 700 person galas. Mm-hmm. We're doing it more the beautiful way, which is like intimate, safe spaces, really like deep dialogue, but also fun. You know, like they're at these gorgeous venues and there's, you know, great raffles and speakers and live music and keynotes. And it's also just a great way to like network with your community.
I think that's a big part of it.
So
those are great networking pieces for a lot of women out there.
Oh, totally.
And it's not about getting everything out of that room. I think it's just about knowing more people in your direct community.
Yeah.
I mean, villages want to help each other. I truly believe that. I'm going to finish you off with a very rapid fire. Okay.
I'm Taylor, so bad at these.
I love this.
I love to talk.
Okay. I know this is what everyone says to me, but I love the rapid fire.
I'm going to challenge myself.
What's one habit that is a non-negotiable in your daily routine?
Some type of movement.
Okay.
Could be walking. Could be Pilates. It could be a gym session, but there has to be a movement.
It's like 30 minutes to an hour. How long do you jump into it?
30 minutes is great.
Yes.
If I can do like a full hour, that's the goal.
Yes.
But I've learned that doing anything counts.
Yes.
Because it used to be to me like I need an hour or it doesn't, or I'm not going.
No.
No. And I am a huge like walk/runner. So if I can be outside, that's the goal as well. I need that mental break.
Atomic habits. That is what that's all about. Biggest risk that you've taken that's paid off. That's a good one. When I wrote that, I was thinking about you going, jumping from place to place in the world.
Believing passion can turn into, believing purpose can turn into, that's not even what I want to say.
Biggest risk.
Biggest risk though.
You can just say what you're going to say because I want to hear that.
I was trying to like go into the whole like, I was trying to sound like a poet. It wasn't working.
Yeah.
Like that you can turn your purpose into impact was kind of my thought, my train
of thought.
And that's
a risk.
And that is a risk.
Yeah, because people don't do it.
Yes, because I think when you feel like your heart's pulling you somewhere. That self-doubt sneaks in so much. Mm-hmm. But also in the world of like philanthropy, it's mm-hmm. really hard to turn it into like, I would say, a career. Mm-hmm. So that's maybe been my biggest risk in terms of like...
Your logic mind comes in.
Yes, exactly. Like it was not the safe route. I had a job offer on the table when I graduated university. I could have moved, you know, to a few different places to work. And I instead said yes to this. And I have zero regrets, but I'm like so glad I bet on myself. So maybe that's the biggest risk I took. Yeah. I bet on myself.
Yeah. That is a very good risk. And you took the right path.
Sorry, it took me a while to get there.
I love that.
I was like, it'll come. It'll come to me.
Okay. A belief you had at your 20-year-old self that you no longer agree with. A belief that you had at 20 that you no longer believe or agree with.
But you have to check all the boxes by a certain age.
You hear that, ladies?
You do not.
You do not.
It's just starting.
That's every year.
I'm like, wow, what a brand new calendar year to like re-look at the boxes that I still have there and like add new ones. But I do not feel at all limited anymore by age, by time.
I know.
Time is so precious. That is my mindset. It's like enjoy every moment as much as possible and like really dive into the yeses.
Yes.
But also know that like it doesn't need to happen.
You know what's weird? Because I've been talking to people like under 30 and under 40 and they're like, we didn't make 30 under 40, 40 under 40 or 50. I'm like, does not matter.
No.
Like it doesn't matter, guys. Just so you know, it just wasn't there for you. It wasn't there to serve you. 100%. You have to move on.
Yeah.
And those that did, fantastic. But you know, it was there for you. You know, there's no ceiling.
No.
Continue.
And that's why there's 40 under 40 and 50 under 50. It's like you know, you can keep, if that's the goal, right? Like
Is that your goal?
Yeah. There's other places you can land on future lists, so to say. But I just, especially now, like entering this new phase of my life, like mm-hmm. with a growing a family.
Yeah, motherhood.
I just feel that life's only going to get more chaotic, but exciting mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and transformative.
Yes.
And how can I still remain exactly who I am in the sense of like my purpose and my values.
Because it's mindful for you.
For sure.
Like that's my biggest piece of advice
for
you.
No sleep, we'll see.
But. It does. Yeah. I am so tired. I'm not going to lie to you because my daughter was kicking me all night last night.
Well, and then your dog.
My dog. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's life.
I know.
And one day I'm going to miss her kicking me in the face.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Last one. What does getting on top mean to you personally?
Being able to be in a space where you can keep shining that light on others.
I'm cutting you off now. We're done. That was so good.
Because it's true. It's like, I'm picturing like, if you feel like you've made it to the top or you're sitting on the top, it's like, again, that's your opportunity shine that light. It's the more you can bring into your world of like joy and people and everything, it's only going to get better.
It's just going to get better. Taylor, thank you.
Thank
Part
you.
Two to come.
Yes.
Thank reverse. You so much. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Get On Top. Don't miss out on more incredible stories by rating, reviewing, and following our podcast on your platform of choice. Remember to tag us on social media at Get On Top Podcast. Until next time, keep climbing, keep striving, and always remember, the view is worth it from the top.
This podcast is produced and edited by Podfather Creative.